My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
Hello, this is Christian Bush, and welcome to episode 11 of my podcast, Geeking Out. Every episode, I invite a new person to talk about one thing that they're obsessed with that has nothing to do with their job. The only requirement is that they're totally geeking out on it and they want to talk about it. From eyelid glitter stickers to homemade camp stools, from collecting classic Hula Girl lamps to do-it-yourself car painting, from made-at-home soda flavors to Alaskan bear tracking, tell me about what you love, why you love it, how you got into it, and what makes it awesome. Each episode is presented in three chapters. In chapter one, my guest and I will have a conversation about their passion. In chapter two, we play a game I call Trajan, where my guest and I turn each other on to something cool we've recently discovered. And in chapter three, I close the show by talking about music that I am currently geeked out on and why. I believe that curiosity is contagious and that life is better with a soundtrack. So let the geeking begin. Chapter one. Today's guest is Amy Mariello. Amy is a singer-songwriter who recently relocated to Nashville and is currently touring with my band Sugarland as a background singer. In addition to working as a touring singer with acts like INXS, Gavin DeGraw, and Nick Lachey, she's also an accomplished solo artist and songwriter for television and movies. With the Sugarland tour underway, I took the opportunity to sit down and get to know Amy and her dark curiosities. Amy Mariello, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. So happy to be here, Christian.
I'm excited that you're here. And would you explain to everybody, first of all, where we are?
Okay.
And who you are, like your name and your job.
Okay. We are in Anaheim,
which is in California.
Yep. And we are on the Sugarland Still the Same tour. We're on your tour bus, and I am your backup singer.
Yes.
Slash tambourine slash triangle slash shake master.
Are you playing a triangle?
No,
and I don't know it.
No, I threw that in. Like, that's just a dream of mine.
Dreams come true here in Sugarland.
Well, I shouldn't have said it because now I feel like there's going to be a triangle in my station.
So, what do you do for a living? Like, what is your location?
I'm a singer-songwriter. So, I write songs for TV and film mostly, which is called sync writing. And sometimes I'm successful at it, and sometimes I make bougie drinks for rich people.
How long have you been doing that?
I've been singing since I could talk, and I've been professionally in the industry since I was about 18.
So this podcast has nothing to do with that.
Good.
This podcast is about essentially one. It has one rule, and the rule is I want you to talk about something that you are totally obsessed with, totally geeking out on, that has nothing to do with your job.
Okay.
Right. All right, so what is it that you're obsessed with? What are you geeking out on right now?
I'm obsessed with crime. I'm obsessed with serial killers, crime TV, more real stuff. So not as much the scripted shit, although I do love a good SVU. but I love true crime. The ID Channel, you know, Forensic Files, 48 Hours, Dateline. Like, I'm just, when I'm not singing for you, man, I am solving crimes.
This is amazing.
I'm collecting evidence on stage and just
now,
seeing.
Do you think that you fall more on the side of solving the crime or committing the crime? Like, what's more fascinating to you?
That's interesting. I think that the psychology behind what it would take to commit a crime. So, for instance, like, we're all deep down, like, a little bit psychotic. Everybody has that, especially musicians. I'm looking in your eyes, and I'm like, you're a psycho. No, but we all have that part of us where, like, something happens, and you're like, what would it be like to, like, I hate this person so much. But think about the person that maybe it's not even because of hate, or but it's just because they enjoy it, but is willing to take that next step and actually kill someone. That's a whole nother game. So I just feel like I'm obsessed with that, like the psychology behind what makes you snap. And then I'm also really intrigued by forensics and like the ability to make, you know, there's really almost no crime that's untraceable at this point. So we're really like, we're smart people now. We can, you know, I mean, I feel like there's a couple ways I can think of to hide a body, but other than that.
Oh my gosh. I have so many questions. When did this start for you? When did this start coming on as an obsession?
Definitely. I was always a really morbid child. So I remember like, it probably was like my early teens, this angsty, morbid phase. And even before that, where I would come down with my guitar and they'd be like, oh, she's going to sing us a really cute little pretty song. And I'd be like, I want to kill everyone. And they'd be like, wow. I remember my aunt saying, wow, you're so expressive. Because it was just, I was obsessed. And I would ask, you know, lots of questions about death and I would always want to watch scary movies, and my brothers and my family, my parents weren't really into it. So I was kind of just the only one that was really into it. My mother will watch crime with me, but she'll mostly fall asleep. So
do you do this alone? Do you watch these things alone?
Oh, Christian, you don't understand. Like, this is a real sick thing. Like, I listen to death podcasts, like serial killer stories, as I'm going to sleep in my bunk on the bus, scaring the shit out of myself. I once woke up to an exorcism being performed, and I had my in-ears on, so it was like inside my ears, and a woman was screaming bloody murder because they were doing an exorcism, and that's what woke me up. So,
holy smokes.
Yeah, and I'm like, why can't I sleep? I don't understand.
So this is way beyond like a Tim Burton movie.
This is like, I need
deep
help.
In.
Yeah, like I need help. This is, I'm actually okay. Yeah, asking you for help right now.
Well, then let's dive in. I assume that you have never killed a person.
Never killed
have
a person.
Have you known anyone who's killed a person?
No. I know someone who was killed. That was pretty brutal. But like, I think I've like pulled someone's hair once. Like that's like, that was like when I was drunk in Hollywood. I think I like pulled a girl's, I got in a bar fight and pulled a chick's hair and then I got my hair pulled. That's the extent of my violence. But I'm just really intrigued. And what I found is that just like any other obsession, like it keeps getting more screwed up. So like at this point, if it's just someone getting shot up in a CVS, I'm not interested. I need someone like someone's severed head, you know, like, like I can't even be bothered with normal crimes anymore.
So at what point do you start to become interested?
Okay. Premeditated.
Okay.
I'm only interested in premeditated crime. So lots of forethought, lots of planning. I'm interested in crimes of passion, interested in serial crime, so someone doing the same thing over and over and not getting caught. Like right now, my obsession is truck stop crime.
Tell me more.
So, so the truck driving, bus driving industry, which is calming because we're on a bus right now. We're among tons of drivers, but there's just this whole thing about truck stops and and working women, prostitutes, And lots of working women are being killed on truck and bus routes. So because they're constantly on the move, it's insanely hard to really trace when someone was where. And a lot of these prostitutes are, you know, unfortunately overlooked by society. They're not in the books. They're not, you know, they haven't paid their taxes. They're not, so they're kind of like, they just disappear and nobody ever looks into it until every once in a while a family gives a shit and is like, where's my daughter? And then we find out she's been gone for like 10 years and she's in like a river somewhere. So there's lots of these truck stop, truck route killings. And I'm interested in
Where do you find out about this?
I started watching some kind of documentary on Netflix, and then I started looking into it myself on the internet and looking on all these sites and finding out all these like unsolved crimes.
So are you
women that just disappear?
This is amazing. Okay. Help listeners with this. How do you get started into this obsession? If you had to give someone a quick primer on maybe a couple of shows to watch or a couple of documentaries or books to read, how would you point someone who was listening to this and goes, man,
like I'm kinda
I think
into
I
this.
Secretly have this too.
Yeah.
Like what's level one?
I think level one is, you know, Dateline NBC. And like I really love certain journalists / hosts like Keith Morrison. I love like people's voices if a voice intrigues me. So I would go to the ID channel and watch some of the less kind of campy shows, but there's a few that are really good. I would go on a podcast and I would listen to Serial, which is everyone's favorite, but it's a really good starting point because the way they do it really involves you in you know, solving the crime, and they actually don't solve it completely. But it kind of gets you into that, you know. And then I would go to maybe S-Town and then start on some, you know, just 48 Hours, which is constant. They're like 40 minutes and you can listen to them. And a lot of them are unsolved.
Okay, what's level two?
Level two, maybe I would go into forensics. And I would go to like Forensic Files and start looking at like what traces people do leave, and like right here there's evidence everywhere.
Tell me about what evidence is right here.
All right, so you know our fingerprints are everywhere,
right.
Your jeans are ripped, so there's probably fibers that would come off. Say if you attacked me right now, there'd probably be fibers from your jeans that would come off.
Okay,
you know, I'd scratch you, there'd be skin under my nail. There was a bus driver I talked to that I asked, you know, which one your bus was.
He would know you came here.
He would know what time I came here around.
This is assuming that I would be the perpetrator.
Yeah, you're the
it's
psycho.
Not you.
Yeah, you're.
You would be killing me, which might be a little more possible in this imagination.
Yeah, totally, totally. No, and we just, you'd look at the timeline and just, it's simple stuff. But there's just everything you do leaves a trace unless you're crazy and you intentionally wear gloves or cut off the tops of your fingers.
When do you feel like you're across the line? Like, do you have a line magically in your mind that if you go across it, that is too far into true crime obsession?
Yeah, I think maybe if I was to, like, actively go and find. I think that the people, I don't want to look down on anyone, but I think the women that are, like, desperately in touch with these serial killers in jail and, like, have formed these obsessions with them, because a lot of murderers get married while they're in jail because women become obsessed with the crimes, become obsessed with the man connected to the crime, and they write these letters, and these guys are in jail, and they're bored and horny and lonely, and they end up having these relationships, and I think that's a little bit silly and desperate.
This is a whole thing I've never even heard of.
Okay, so lots of people in jail, you know, have fans. They're like tons of fans. Like Charlie Manson had tons of fans. Ted Bundy, tons of fans. Green River Killer, like they're just these people that like women that are like, he's a bad boy, but I'm gonna change him. So
okay,
yeah.
I assume that, so what you're saying is the line is you would never write one of those
letters.
The
line is I would never actually come into, I mean, I'm totally lying. If someone said like you could interview a serial killer, I'd be there in a heartbeat. But I wouldn't be there because I wanted to, like, bond. I'd be there because I wanted to, like, get the inner workings of their brain.
Would you enroll in some sort of, like...
Like school?
School?
I've just never been a fan of school. But I think as I get older, I'm more interested in learning. Like, I never cared about learning. I was like, I'm a singer and I'm going to be a star. But it, now, you know, I probably would just because it's cool to have other stuff going on. And obviously, I'm interested, as you can see.
Would you... it seems like, because you're a creative person, I'm just making a suggestion, but would you consider writing a story about, like, all of the... Like, you now know how all these killers work. You know how... Like, you think you would be good at guiding... A listener or a reader?
Well, I actually thought a lot about, and maybe you could help me with this, about writing a serial killer record where the songs were all based on different crimes. I already wrote a song called Land and Sea that I put out a while ago based on a murder. And it's one of my favorite songs I've ever written. But I thought about doing a whole record of that kind of stuff.
Murder ballads. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I accept.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it. You know, you said it, and you said it on record, honey.
That's a great place to stop.
Exactly. Okay.
Check the backseat. Check the backseat.
All right, come here.
Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the backseat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
Hey, it's Zuko and Kayla from The Wake Up Call. Enjoy your podcast, but when you're done, don't forget about us. We have a radio show. We try to bring a smile to your face every morning.
We also talk to some of the hottest country stars of today, and we like to share some good news with That's What I Like.
Because Lord knows that's hard to find. When you're done podcasting your podcast, listen to us at 92.3 WCOL.
Set your preset on your radio right now, and don't forget you can listen to us online on the iHeartRadio app.
Chapter 2. In every episode of Geeking Out, I see if I can trade one thing I've discovered recently with one thing that my guest has discovered. Anything is admissible in this friendly exchange I call Trade You. All right, this is the part of the podcast that I call Trade You. It's just very simply something I'm into or something I've discovered or something I'm around that I trade you one thing and you trade me in exchange something else. And I'll go first.
Okay.
So that you kind of get the idea. And you'll probably be thinking about whatever it is you want to trade me.
Yeah, I'm thinking right now.
I would say this. I don't know anything about women's makeup or... Like, I never had a sister. My mom was not that kind of person. Like, I have my daughter turns 13, like, in a week. And I still don't know even what to feed her, you know?
Okay. Oh, my God.
Like, there's just a complete blank in there.
And but, I like them. I love makeup so much.
Well, here's something that I have learned.
Okay.
By osmosis. That there is a product that seems to kick the butt of all other products for one particular thing. And I guess, and I'm making a lot of this up in my mind as I observe my daughter and I observe the other people around me, but there's a thing about eyelashes. Apparently they're very important. My brother and I, Brandon and I, both have like extremely weird, like alienly long eyelashes.
This is why we have blonde hair,
so you don't really see it. Mm-hmm. But there's an occasional moment where, at some drunk time, some girls put mascara or whatever it is on my eyelashes,
and you look suddenly like a princess.
I look like a princess.
Yeah.
And And then they start going, I would kill for your eyelashes,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And I had no idea this was such a big deal until I started seeing people like stick on, like paste on eyelashes.
What
and
do you think I wear for the shows? I have fake eyelashes.
And then
for the
then I saw they're like magnetic.
Oh.
Like you can get magnets that go on your eyes, right? I don't even know if they work, but there is a natural way. Well, we call it natural is what I've heard, but I have heard of a product that absolutely works. Hands down, no matter what, and it's called Lash Boost,
ooh,
right? It's Rodan and Fields, which is one of these like
these pyramid schemes,
right?
I want this,
and I think you would love this because I've seen some people do it, and it literally does. I think you apply it.
Wait,
at
what
night.
Is it? It's
Rodan and Fields, and it's called Lash Boost. And I think
you do know I'm buying it. I'm literally buying it right now.
I think that the stories that I've heard, and this is just me being like creepy overhearing other people.
Yeah.
Much like maybe in true crime. You know, I'm just aware of things that are going on in the room. And then I even asked the other day, I was like, what exactly are you talking about again? And somebody explained it to me and I was like, okay. And they were just chitty chatting away at how important this is and how long their eyelashes have gotten, and in a very short time, like within 3 weeks or something, you see a huge difference.
That's my
trade for you is Rodan and Fields Lash Boost.
Oh my god, this is amazing! Does that wait? Oh, okay, I got one.
Okay, go.
Do you have any problems with sleep?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so I've done like I'm a part of being a crazy person is that I don't sleep naturally at all. So I've been listening to this weird yogi kind of podcast yogi thing called Yoga Nidra or Yoga Nidra or Yoga
Yoga
something.
Nidra.
And
it's a relaxation type of yoga, right?
You already know.
No, I don't.
But basically it takes you down your whole body and he's like, focus on your left toe. Focus on your middle toe. Focus. And you're like, oh, he's going to like skip things. He's like, no. Focus on your inner ankle. Focus on your inner thigh. And he goes through everything till you're so goddamn bored, you fall asleep.
Is that how it works?
I think so, because I got so pissed after a couple minutes of it. I was like, ugh, we haven't even gotten to the left side of my body and I'm brutally bored. So then I just decided to sleep during it, and it worked.
I need you to send this to me. Because
okay.
I do.
I'll send you a link.
I am sleep challenged.
Me too.
I'm one of those people who, as a kid, stayed up later and later and later just to see if I could.
Me too.
And then it flips me over.
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, I'm so immune to anything substance-wise because at this point my liver's a distillery. And I've taken every single thing to knock myself out. So I could take the equivalent of what like a horse would take to go to sleep, and my body's like, sorry. So I need to do all this weird shit to just try to rest. And this kind of worked just purely out of boredom.
That's amazing.
I found my inner yogi out of pure boredom.
Okay, now it's say it again. What's the name of it?
Yoga Nidra, I think.
And is this a podcast?
I Googled it. And then I found the podcast and I don't even know if it's a podcast or it's just like a 2-hour YouTube thing. And you just put it on and then it works. It bores you to sleep.
Oh, that's awesome. Will you send it to me?
Yeah. Right. I'll send you the link right now.
Well, Amy, thank you for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're a fantastic guest and please don't premeditate killing me.
I won't. As long as you give me something to do during Little Miss.
Okay. Game on.
All right.
Chapter 3, me geeking out on music.
Song making, the process of how we make the donuts. Taking inspiration from this week's guest, I thought I might take a stab at writing a murder ballad. It's more common than you think for a songwriter to be asked to write a song about a specific event or situation. It's an ask that's made from movie directors, TV producers, advertising agencies, and in my world, occasionally from a playwright. Even in the writing rooms, when we're making music for the radio, many times we start with a story and write the emotions surrounding it. If you can see the scene and the relationship between the characters, the song and melody are easier to imagine. I thought I might give you a glimpse into what it takes to write a song on demand. My most recent experience with this is writing the music to the musical Troubadour. My partner Janice Schaefer created a world where the characters that she imagined had written their own country hits. And these songs had to be created between the years of 1935 and 1951. And I had no idea what those songs needed to sound like or even what kind of words or rhymes were popular at the time. So I went to the internet to go exploring and followed some pretty specific steps to bring those songs to life. That process that I used is the one that I'll use here to attempt my first murder ballad. Hang on, here we go. Step one, do your homework. So I went in search of the definition and history of the murder ballad, and here's what I found. So it's a function of art to render unspeakable truths into metaphors. Murder ballads were intended to tell the news before there were newspapers. They typically recount the details of a mythic or true crime, who the victim is, why the murderer decides to kill him or her, how the victim is lured to the murder site, and then the act itself, followed by the escape and or capture of the murderer. Often the ballad ends with the murderer in jail or on their way to execution. Seems intense, right? Okay, step two, get inspired. So I went looking for some examples. The one that comes to mind immediately for me is an old Appalachian folk song they called Knoxville Girl. I grew up near Knoxville, so I was always fascinated by the title. Here's the band BR549 singing this dark story.
I met a little girl in Knoxville, a town we all know well. And every Sunday evening out in her home I dwell.
Man, I love the haunting sounds and deadpan delivery. See what I did there? Okay, here's Johnny Cash singing Delia's Gone.
Delia, oh Delia, Delia all my life. If I hadn't shot poor Delia, I'd have had her for my wife. Delia's gone, one more round, Delia's gone.
It seems that his simple explanation gives the narrator some sort of numb, removed vantage point to tell the story. Now a little twist. Here's Dolly Parton telling the story of a frustrated marriage proposal that ended in death.
I started home.
Twixt 12 and 1.
I cried, my God, what have I done?
Okay, I'm going to try one more. Maybe something more traditional in case I'm missing something just listening to American artists. Wondering if there's some other piece to the songwriting puzzle that comes from maybe the European tradition.
She walks these hills in a long black veil. She visits my grave when the night winds wail. Nobody knows, Lord, nobody sees, nobody knows but me.
Step three, build a picture. Okay, so I dove into the strangest part of the Ted Bundy story. Some of this is internet speculation. Some seems true. But in either case, it all seems like great soil for a song to be planted. It turns out Ted Bundy had a daughter. Here are the facts that seem crazy, but true. Apparently, Carol Ann met Ted Bundy in the audience of one of his trials. Rumor is she believed that he didn't do it. He later proposed to her while he was in the courtroom representing himself, and she was his witness. Even though it was banned, there are speculations that they had a conjugal visit and that Carol Ann got pregnant. The only other thing I noticed in some weird corner of the web was the fact that the mother never brought the daughter to meet her father. Now, if this isn't a ripe story for a haunting, I don't know what is. Step 4, find a voice. I'm now kind of convinced that the most fun thing to imagine would be, what if the daughter was writing a song about her mother and father? I wonder if she thinks about who made her and wonders if she herself is predisposed to killing. I started to imagine, what kind of life must it be to grow up knowing that part of your DNA has serial killers? Step 5, make it structured and also make it fit the research. So here goes. I sat and wrote some lyrics, and I looked at where it led me. Try not to overthink it. Make sure to leave some room for a mystery. I also kind of hid the Ted Bundy reference by using what was probably his given name rather than his nickname, Ted. But I used the wife's real name. All right, enjoy.
Daddy's name was Edward, Mama's name was Carol Ann. And while he was on trial for killing, he asked for her hand. If he ever thought of hurting her, I guess I'll never know. I was conceived in a railroad prison while he was on death row. Yeah, Daddy was a killer, maybe I'm a killer too. His blood runs red inside my head, I don't know what I'd do. If I ever had to lay you down and take your life from you. Remember, Daddy was a killer, maybe I'm a killer too. Daddy was a killer, maybe I'm a killer too.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Geeking Out, and we are all hard at work here on the next one. Are you obsessed with something amazing? Want to tell us about it? Write to us at geekingoutwithkb@gmail.com, and you might be a guest on an upcoming episode. Come find out more about me and this podcast at christianbush.com, Christian with a K. Follow me at Christian Bush on Twitter, Christian Bush on Instagram, Christian Bush on Facebook, and Christian M. Bush on Snapchat. Thanks to Bobby Bones for the opportunity to build this podcast, Brandon Bush for the editing and the soundtrack, Tom Tapley for the audio wizardry, and Whitney Pastrick for being a great producer and making this whole thing possible. This is Christian Bush geeking out. Thank you for listening.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brother. Brothers Osborne, Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
It's the Breakfast Club, the world's most dangerous morning show.
Hey!
Angela Yee is kind of like the big sister that always pokes you in the forehead.
That's not how it goes?
That's not how anything goes.
Yemi's really like a robot. One of the best DJs ever. Believe that!
Charlamagne is the wild card.
And I'm about to give somebody the credit they deserve for being stupid.
I know, that's right.
What is wrong with you?
Listen to the Breakfast Club weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 106.7 The Beat. Columbus's real hip-hop and R&B.